Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Believers, it's that time again. We are talking the penultimate episode of Lucha Underground Season 3 with a very special, very intrepid guest. So stick around because you're not going to want to miss it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What an amazing choice. Holy shit. Guys, it's Thursday night. You know what time it is. It's time for Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. If you're joining us on Facebook Live, thank you so, so much. We know things are a little bit different than usual, but we appreciate you tuning in regardless. We're talking Ultimate Lucha Trace Part 3. We've only got one more episode after this, so there's a lot to get to. My name is Ty Matthews. You guys can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. To my left, She's young, dumb, and I'm not going to say the last thing that she wanted me
to say.
You can find her online at Rachel St. Evans or Rachel St. Evans. It really does depend on how your brain works. Guys, it's Rachel Evans.
What's up? I love you.
I told her she looked like a cult, like a member of a swamp cult today.
I have tried to start a sex cult with my subscribers, and then I realized that they're all 13.
Yeah, that's not great. That's not great.
Which is legal in New Mexico.
To Rachel's left, you know him as the leader of the rabbit tribe on Lucha Underground. He's a dear, dear, dear friend of the show, one of our absolute favorite people. You can find him online at LondonFoo. Guys, it's Paul London.
And he loves New Mexico.
Yeah.
Jesus. For shoot. Howdy.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure's all on this fragment of the table.
We're going to be talking a little bit about Ultima Lucha Trace, part 3 of 4. We got one more episode left after this. But more so than that, we're going to be talking to Paul about the Rabbit Tribe, about his involvement with the show, his career, all that good stuff.
So go to sleep now.
Join us on the ones and twos, ladies and gentlemen, Steve, producer Steve.
Yeah, Viking Steve. Hey.
Love this guy.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm okay.
So good.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Good.
Let's fade out this awesome John Carpenter music. I'm definitely going to be listening to this later. That's awesome.
I love that movie.
He tours with that.
What's that?
He does concerts.
John Carpenter does?
Yeah, like concerts.
No
and
way.
That's on the,
That's pretty dope. That's awesome. Well, Paul?
Oh, we've started.
Oh, we're live, baby, live.
Welcome to the jungle.
Let's just talk a little bit, before we get into this episode, let's talk a little bit about your involvement with the show in general. How did your involvement with Lucha Underground come about? How did this sort of iteration of the Paul London character come about?
Gluten-free pancakes were involved. I think one of the deceased characters, Bale.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, we go way back.
Mm-hmm.
I moved out to California in like 2001, when 9/11 and all that stuff happened.
Right.
And I befriended a lot of SoCal mainstays.
Right. You were tag teaming with Scott Lost at the time.
I was.
Lost in London.
The infamous Lost in London. There's a t-shirt floating around somewhere.
Is there?
In my attic.
It's
and I'm the only one that has it. Yeah. And anyways, Bale's been a friend of mine a long time. Benny.
Yeah.
B-Boy.
B-Boy.
You know, B-Boy. I like B-Boy is good. Has he used that before?
I haven't seen
it. I don't know, but I love it.
B-Bomb. His rip-off shirt.
God, that's good.
B-Boy.
That's good.
Yeah.
His nuptials are coming up. Congratulations to B-Boy.
So
congrats.
Getting married.
Right? Congrats on those handcuffs. And so
I was about to say, it's cuffing season. It's happening.
It's cuffing season.
It's happening.
There's a warrant out for your life.
It's freaking me out, man.
Well, yeah, so he asked me, he goes, would there be any interest on your part, would you ever want to work, for them or do anything with them? And I thought, well, no. I don't really want to be too involved. Like, I don't want to go to bed with a wrestling company anymore. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. What an interesting way to put it.
Yeah, it's...
What a mafia way to put it.
No, that's what you do. You're getting the bricks put to you or put to somebody else. I don't know where that was going.
I don't know, but I liked it.
It was a poor mafia.
I was there for it.
But yeah, I wasn't, you know. And so, but I knew a lot of the people involved, and I knew, you know, DeJoseph from the other place that I worked at.
That other place.
It's like left of Wendy's in Stanford. And, you know, so we met up, and we met up over some gluten-free pancakes, and I said, this is what I don't want to do, and this is what I am kind of interested in. And it was cool.
What didn't you want to do?
I didn't want to do head-dropping stuff. I just thought, like, I don't want to come here and just be a guy who's here to put people over and kill myself in the process.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, I'm going to kill myself on my own time. I don't want to do it in front of TV for
my
glory.
Turns.
Right.
Yeah. I just... I don't know. If anything, I just wanted to do something very different. You know, it's like I want to show something else because I felt that for the 5.5-6 years that I was at that other job,
right?
It was just there wasn't a whole lot of room for growth. You know what I mean? And there certainly was no collaboration whatsoever. Mm. You know, it's like bring us your ideas and we'll steal them or laugh at you and make you wonder why you're alive. So I expressed all that stuff, you know, and I said, I don't want to look like I've ever looked, and I don't want to, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
I want to have
a huge cop piece.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's more on that later. Awesome. I just said the only thing is, you know, we'll just use my name. I don't want to change my name and be like, you know, El Pollo Loco.
Right. You know what I mean?
That would be great, though.
It was on the list.
came up as El Pollo Loco.
Yeah. Well, as we were meeting, I think it was like at Cables or something, and Encino, or I don't know. It's since been closed down. Mm. Probably because we went there a lot afterwards. We're like, right, gluten free bang is like, fucking these people. And we never tip either since we love Reservoir Dogs.
The Mr. Pink argument.
Yeah. Right. Makes total sense. Oh, is this might turn into an argument.
I'll fight you on this.
So long story short, I was actually supposed to debut in season 2, but then I had a match with Cage, your trainer. I'm just kidding. I just made that up.
My trainer, Brian Cage. I would love that. Please.
Well, we had a match, and I got hurt, and so PJ Black actually stepped in, and that like his spot was going to be where I was going to
oh, okay.
Interesting.
In season 2, yeah. I don't know if I would have been a part of Worldwide Underground or anything, but I was supposed to debut against Willie Mack. And
so it wasn't going to be this character that you're doing now?
No, not at all. This wasn't even, you know, a creation in a slimy, swirly puddle.
Do you feel like it was kind of a blessing in disguise? Because, like, the iteration that Paul London is on Lucha now is so great.
Mm. Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's weird. Yeah, it was good. The getting hurt was a good opportunity because, what really it instilled trust in me in this new bed partner. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, because at the end of the day, yeah, like the advantages were I live here in LA and I just have to drive 20 minutes to work and it's on weekends and it pays better than, you know, most jobs, especially waitress jobs. And
you put on a skirt?
I do in a way. I put on less than that. But There was just a chance to do something new, and then so when I got hurt, they said, "Don't worry, how would you?" Because originally part of the original pancake negotiations was that I can do more than wrestle. You know what I mean? Like, is there anything you guys might be interested in me doing?
Behind the scenes?
Yeah, I was like, I should rewrite this whole piece of shit show, and I should redirect everything.
Right,
London Underground. Redo all the characters. Yeah, I just thought like this is a real prime opportunity here to like get myself over. But they were like, no, well, I was impressed. You know, I guess my emails were much more impressive than my vocabulary, because they said, well, you know, yeah, let's bring you on as like a producer. Would you be interested in doing that? And I thought, well, yeah, but you're going to pay me more, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was just, yeah, that's something, you know, I teach seminars and stuff like that. I have a seminar this week, and I'm doing it in, like, Colorado Springs. And I try to always squeeze a seminar in when I'm doing a show because I just enjoy teaching. So that was a neat thing for me was that, hey, we're still going to use you for, like, every show. And that way you're actually working every show because you're producing it. And, yeah, it instilled a lot of faith. Like, hey, these guys care about me more than just a piece of meat. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
that's
I like
good to know.
Yeah, I like to swing my meat, you know. And
once again, as we saw from the codpiece.
My brain meat, right. too. Yeah.
Right. We all know.
But that came much later on, actually. So at this end of season two, I actually had a weird, like a late dark match with Daivari, actually. And I was wearing...
Sean Daivari.
Yeah, right. Sean Daivari. I guess his brother's on like 205 Live or something.
Right, right.
He's also very good. And we had a match, and I was wearing like similar to what I wear now when I'm not this rabbit guy. Like I was wearing this red and gray kind of thing, and it was terrible. Like it was a terrible match. It was just bad. Because in my head, I was thinking like I had to be like something. That I'm like, I don't know. It was almost like I was wanting to be like taken in a, like a serious way because I thought that the tone of the show
was like more gritty, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, and I just thought, okay, I want to come in and be something like badass. You know what I mean? Like as silly as that sounds, you know what I mean? But like, I think everyone has this idea in their head with like, you know, hey, this might be a chance for me to like really turn a corner and you know, I want people to start taking me seriously.
Sure,
and so. And I was taking like a lot of kung fu at the time, a lot of Wing Chun and stuff at the time. I was like, I'm gonna incorporate this in, and that was like the only good part. But it was just flat. Like I was rusty, and it just didn't click very well. And so then, fast forward later, you know, I like begged them. I was like, please don't air this match. Like please don't air this match. And they didn't, but then they were like, we'll figure something out. We'll figure something out for you. And I was like, okay, cool. And then it wasn't until really we were going into season three that they were like, hey, we have this idea for you to be part of this rabbit tribe. And I instantly thought they were like kind of like making fun of me or something. Yeah. And I thought like, okay, like is this just kind of like a joke?
Right,
kind
right,
of
thing? Right.
Like they're like, how am I supposed to make this tough?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I ramble a lot, so please feel free to interrupt
me. Oh, no. No, it's great.
Or whatever. I'm just spewing out info so I don't have to include it in a book later. So they go, yeah, we want you to be a part of this rabbit thing. And I said, well, okay, well, I don't understand. They're like, well, it's like a rabbit god. You know, there's like these seven, is it seven?
I think so. The tribes?
Yeah, there's like these seven gods, these ancient Aztec gods, and this is one of them. But he's kind of more like the fun one. And I was like, oh, okay. That was really all we kind of got. And then they're like, okay, well, we're going to have so-and-so and so-and-so with you. Kayfabe, man. And, but we wore the same outfits. Like, we wore the same, like, what I wear right now when I'm not doing the rabbit guy thing is, it's like a jumpsuit, very much inspired by, like, the Running Man.
Oh, okay.
But it has, like, a built-in hood.
Uh-huh.
And... So the three of us were wearing like the identical suits to that, but with like the Rabbit Tribe logo on the back,
like Schwarzenegger, like
yeah.
Okay.
So somewhere in some warehouse, there are Running these Man. Three suits of Rabbit Tribe outfits, the original Rabbit Tribe outfits, where they look like. Well, the notes we got were you guys look like scuba divers.
Ty, how do we get those for the last episode?
I want to find them. I want to.
You, me, and Jimbo. I mean,
those are our podcasting outfits for
please,
the finale.
Please.
Yeah, it was not very inspiring. I thought, okay, we really missed the boat. You know, scuba diving rabbits. I don't get where this is gonna go. I think I was still thinking like Battle Beasts. Like that was my mindset.
Battle Beasts.
Yeah, Battle Beasts was this series of toys in the late '80s. Mm-hmm. Sorry for anyone who's born after 1990. Your toys, video games, and music sucked. Well, it's true.
Yikes.
If you're an '80s kid, we had the greatest cartoons. We had the greatest toy commercials. Mm-hmm. Toys. Toys R Us actually meant something.
Sure.
Sadly, now it's like going bankrupt.
Right.
It's so my whole childhood's going bankrupt, including myself.
my adult life also.
Yeah, it's sucking me in. everything I touch falls apart. It's true.
That's true.
Okay, so.
But Battle Beast was this. It was like Micro Machines.
Sure.
Okay, so it's similar to that, but there were these little, literally tribes of animals. Like, there was a whole, like, deer group of animals, but they wore armor, and they had, like, this little hologram on their chest. Not to be confused with Visionaries, which is another great toy line.
Oh, boy.
That had holograms on their chest.
Okay.
But it was, like, Knights of the Royal something. Anyways,
okay.
And they shared voices, all the same voice actors that did the voices for G.I. Joe and Transformers, they all did voices for Visionaries. And a lot of others, these cartoons, Mask was another cartoon.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
So it's that that's whole time back there. So when they told us Rabbit Tribe, and like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, hey, we're supposed to be like rabbits in this temple thing. Like, this is supposed to be like, oh, and I was also thinking, you might like this one. I don't know if you'll even know this movie. Warriors of Virtue.
No Warriors of Virtue.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I watched it 3 weeks ago in my office.
Did you really?
Yeah, that's really weird.
What'd you think?
Wow.
It's pretty trippy, isn't it?
I mean, I was that.
It's
so,
like,
yes.
It's like a Jim Henson-esque like martial arts, Bushido weird kind of film. But
my
it's
head
like,
editor is obsessed with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was two of them. The first one was like the main one that people paid attention to, but it was like live action people dressed in like animatronic type like suits, like
the
original Ninja Turtle
type
movie, but in like rabbits and there's some other animal stuff. But Warriors of Virtue, yeah, it's a pretty interesting film. So I thought that, and we actually had. Like samurai gloves ordered and stuff, because I was thinking like we should be dressed kind of like this samurai group,
right
like Bushido or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
And they went to the trouble of like bought all this like armor and shit.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so like in this, so when we debuted against the same team we debuted against on TV, Aerostar, Drago, and Phoenix. We had almost, we didn't have the same match, but it was the same setup, the same us against them, except we were in the scuba diver suits with the Bushido gloves and shit. And you would take those off, you know, and like the makeup department person's like, those are $60 gloves. 5 seconds. You know? And so, and by the way, the costuming and makeup department's top notch.
Right. I mean, right.
Like the differences, I can get into that later, but, so, again, yeah, it was like, you guys looked like scuba divers. What we were thinking was more Alice in Wonderland. And the second they said Alice in Wonderland, I was like, you must have seen me in the parking lot. So, yeah, he's like, I was thinking more, Alice in Wonderland, Mad Hatter. I think the combination I was given was like Freddie Mercury and Mick Jagger.
Okay.
And I'm not like the biggest Mick Jagger fan. I mean, I love him as a performer, and it's like what I understand. He's
Freddie.
The hardest
like a showman.
Worker. Yeah, he's the hardest worker. But like, it's not, you know, I'm much more of a Queen person.
Sure.
Much more of a Queen.
And I love Elvis. And so like I kind of replaced Mick Jagger with Elvis
weird combination. Yeah, I see that. For sure.
But my first response was, okay, well, this character needs a cod piece. Like, that was the first thing I'd had to get renegotiated here with this character. And I said, he needs a cod piece. And I sent, like, literally pages, like 8 pages of, like, attachments of just cod pieces. Just to like inspire them.
Okay. I feel like one would do. That's a cod
they
piece.
They said yes, and I sent them anyway.
Just more.
Yeah, I was just like, this is really
reiterated. I don't know if you get it.
Yeah.
Like, it does kind of look like the entire Rabbit Tribe was outfitted by the Pleasure Chest. There's a gimp suit.
Yeah. We do have
like,
a gimp.
There's like
a lot of vinyl on Melisuerte.
Vinyl mask. You're wearing a cod piece. Like, the whole thing is like. It's Alice in Wonderland in the dungeon.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like a porn parody of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We don't have any chicks.
This ain't Alice in Wonderland.
This is not Alice in Wonderland.
With no girls, you know? Like,
down the rabbit's hole.
Yes. I've heard them all. There's a lot of possibilities. I think we've spoken about trying to possibly conjure up a... Like, I wanted to conjure up a female... what's that weird science style?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I wanted to do something like that.
Sure.
Possibly for down the road. Who knows?
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
And I also want to, like, I have lots of ideas, but I think it would be a lot of fun for us to have, like, a girl come out of a cauldron, but she's big and she gets, like, stuck in the cauldron. And we, like, pull her out. But that's, like, our girl is, like, this big girl. Like,
right.
You know, she's, like, the hottest thing we've ever seen. You know what I mean? But, like, I don't know. I just think that would be a real, the last thing we would want is some cliche model bullshit.
No, exactly. Yeah. I dig that. So yeah. let's touch on this episode a little bit. That was it was a long way to get there.
Sorry, I told you. Interrupt my ass.
No, that was really interesting.
This episode is better for having had those stories.
I know. And I haven't said anything bad.
So we started. Don't jinx it. We start off with you're just clawing at it's waiting to get out of here. We start with the last luchador standing.
Sure.
Sexy Star taking on Taya.
Uh-huh.
So funny.
As we've said, like given the recent context that Sexy Star has been put into.
Can I speak?
Yes,
can
please. Speak? Please.
So yeah. Us knowing that Sexy Star is a horrible person. Right. Like us understanding
it puts
that
it
now,
in a little different light.
This was the funniest unintentional Taya face turn.
That's
nobody. It's just so funny to look back on something that like nobody in the temple knows. Mm. Nobody knows yet. She knew, but right. Like we didn't know yet.
Right.
And now we know.
But we see. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a great way to put it. Like it would have been a great. Sort of face turn moment for Taya.
It was unintentional. Right. Like she was getting, yeah.
Even, I mean, you could compare it because of the blood that was streaming down her face. You could almost compare it to Hart and Austin. Exactly. To that sort of double turn when Austin.
Just be proud of me.
You did a good job.
Thank you.
You did a very good job. when it is that blood that sort of earns him that begrudging respect in people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of stuff happening. Very hard chops, as we saw.
Very
in this match.
Very shoot chops. Like those. That's what it seemed like those were punishment chops.
Yeah, they don't like each other.
No, they don't.
They haven't liked each other. I mean, I don't know. Most of the people are pretty cool, but you know, you have a few people that get kind of very protective of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and. I would say Sexy's probably one of those people that gets. I mean, I'm not out to defend one person one way or another, but she's. I think she's been doing this a long time, and she's maybe just not as enthused about it a lot. But she knows she has like a fan base, and you know she's good at it.
Mm.
But I think the thing in Mexico too is just kind of like a big, kind of overblown, kind of. Yeah, I felt like the whole thing was really overblown. Mm.
Which thing? The
Triple A
taking?
Mexico, like that. Yeah. Well, that's all nonsense.
Or the like arm hurting.
The arm hurt thing.
The Rosemary thing.
Yeah, I think the stuff in Mexico. Like, I don't think Mexico's ran very good personally.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Just the country.
Yeah.
Well, or no, the rest.
No. Triple A. Triple A.
The wrestling scene.
Yeah. Triple A. I don't even want to get. I don't even want to say other companies.
No. Yeah.
There is this one McDonald's though, that really needs to get their act together.
Really?
In Mexico?
Yeah, in Guadalajara.
You should Yelp about it.
Nah.
Come on, dude.
No.
The people have to know. No.
For all the times I've said, you know what, man? I've never Yelped. This was so good. I'm going to Yelp a review this time. I still have never done it. Never.
And it's the idea. It's the principle.
I've never Yelped.
I guess.
The thought that counts.
Yeah. Have you ever Yelped? I bet you've Yelped.
No.
Yeah, I bet you haven't Yelped.
No.
I mean, I've yelped.
there's got to be some janky Urban Dictionary definitions for
but
yelp.
I don't know. I don't know. The match was. I think they've wrestled each other so many times too. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It did feel like a fatigued match a little bit.
A bit.
Right.
It wasn't. I love watching Taya so much, and I think she has so much power, and she's so quick, and she's so strong and sturdy, and I didn't see a lot of that
in this.
And there were even spots that were like, you could tell they're not helping each other. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
They're not excited to make the other one look.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. That's a good. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so eventually we see them kind of fight up to the top of that. of, I guess, the bleachers.
They,
sort
like,
of.
They yeah. crawl that, up that there together. Area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Two tables stacked on top of each other. They take the plunge through both tables. Taya is on the bottom, hits the ground first. Eventually, Sexy makes it up.
Yeah, just, last person up, right?
Just, okay. just barely in the nick of time. Makes a count of 10. Last luchador standing.
You know, one of my favorite parts of that whole match was Matt Stryker's commentary.
Uh-huh.
It's excellent. I mean, he never ceases to impress me with his commentary.
Right,
it's,
right.
It's like better and better. It, and he commentates so in the moment.
Well, and I was going to say, the fact that he can pull some of those calls, like, and be as eloquent as he is in the midst of a heated match.
Yeah.
And also despite, like, not getting much back.
Oh, yeah. Like, right, right, right.
I mean, the fans can't hear him, you know what I mean? And so, like, he's, you know, but it's, so he said something about using her, banging your head off of, like, a $600, super expensive piece of equipment.
Six figure camera. Yeah,
I just
thought,
like, this is great. Like, that's fun little bit of info that makes sense, and it happened.
Yeah. So next up, we have the unique opportunity that the Mac won last week in teaming with Dante Fox and Killshot to take on Vibora, Pindar, and Drago for the trios titles.
This was so goddamn good.
It was so much fun to watch.
This was
super fun to watch.
We do have to comment on Frick. I'm about to say his real name. Stop.
Dante Fox.
No. Killshot.
Oh, Killshot. Killshot. Okay.
I get in trouble a lot. when
he's
Killshot
a sniper.
Was...
He'll kill you.
No, I know.
he's up there right
don't
now.
Don't say my name, bitch. Don't say my name.
No, Rachel would be more afraid of Drago with his his anthropomorphized...
I don't fuck with anthropomorphization.
Right.
I can't. Every time Rachel, I see
Rachel
his
is,
face,
is legitimately afraid of animals taking on human characteristics.
I am. I'm very afraid
like,
of
to
them.
Like, to a very serious degree.
Yeah.
So you're just terrified of all fables?
Sure.
I mean, if there were films,
if it's like Drago,
or like Animal Farm, or something like that, scare the shit out of you.
No.
If there was a movie,
it's like Babe doesn't scare me, but that Twilight Zone episode scares me. So like, it's an animal specifically taking on human characteristics and features.
And so Drago's features in this match,
they fuck me up.
They were very, very scary.
Oh, because of his face.
His face. Because of his face.
Well, his contacts and like.
I've always thought Drago looks like Wishmaster.
I can see that.
I can see that for sure.
Like
the djinn and Wishmaster.
Sure.
He's definitely like silly looking, and I get that. But when he looks.
Would you say that to his face?
No!
To his scaly.
No, yeah. Like, silly and cute and good. Like a good, silly, good.
Like a silly good boy.
Sure. He's a silly good boy.
Sure.
But
that
when he looks.
Worse.
No. Silly
hey, we're here with the silly good boys.
Everybody in the temple is a boy. Everybody in the temple is a sweaty boy. They're a silly boy. What were you?
I'm probably like a silly bulgy boy.
I think you might have been something like a butt
sparkly.
Boy or a bulgy boy.
A butt boy?
Butt boy.
That's the worst.
I'm sorry.
Butt boy? That's the worst of them all.
I don't think we ascribed a boy named Paul.
Yes.
I think that's
just a little bit.
I'm going to go with butt boy. But yeah, that freaked me out.
I think
but
just when, a sweet, sweet boy. I think
sweet,
one of the segments where you guys were sort of chasing after Mascarita and trying to worship him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, look at those sweet boys.
That was a sweet boy.
Sweet boy.
You're right. You're totally right.
We like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's cute.
He's the only one we think we can beat. So
we're
trying to befriend him now.
Right.
Yeah.
But God, no, this match was so much fun
this
to watch.
This match was dope.
The pounce from the Mac to Vibora,
yeah,
where it kind of crisscross a couple times.
I thought he was gonna dive.
Right.
And I was like, this is gonna be cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Mac hits the dive. We see that sort of begrudging teamwork between Dante Fox and Killshot.
And eventually it just becomes like admiration.
Which they're
like
and
you
they're,
see
it. Their
Dante.
Arc, their story and their arc is one of my favorites in the show's kind of mythos.
Feels
kind of
the realist.
Exactly. Well, especially in the Hell of War match that we saw a couple weeks ago, they're channeling this story like it's
we had a fan, a very loyal fan who I won't say, but a very loyal fan to the show, messaged me because he knows I'm with the writers and you know I'm part of the meetings and stuff. And he messaged me after the Fox Killshot. You know, what was that match even called?
Like, the Hell of War.
Hell of War. Yeah. And it was like, hey, we love the show and all that stuff, but that was too far.
Oh. Oh boy.
I was too, a little too far.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah. And we just thought, fuck it.
I don't think so.
Right.
Probably exactly. Wasn't far. It was just the beginning. You know?
Right, exactly.
But you see, actually, you see Dante Fox at the end of this match in my favorite moment of the match, where Killshot, what move did he do that was just incredible?
The Spanish fly, where he jumps up and grabs him and swings back?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Everything he does is incredible.
Right.
Oh, when he walked to the ring?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
He did actually walk to the ring like he ate a big burrito, and it was really cute.
We did note when Killshot is going down the steps, he's selling his ribs, but it looks like he's going,
I'm so hungry at that burrito.
Sleepy now.
Oh, the burrito's coming out one of my cuts.
Oh, God.
He just starts spilling
beans.
But
I think it is the Spanish fly that you might be talking about.
When Dante was in the corner and he just went, oh, shit.
Right. So we see that low main pain is what he normally calls it. I don't know if it's actually called Dante's Inferno. I think Matt Stryker called a Dante's Inferno reference when he hit that. I don't know if that's what it's called.
He wrote it down. He's like, that better be crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. We get that. We get the Max Stunner. We get the kill stomp from Killshot.
Yeah, for
the Matt Killshot and Dante Fox to win the Trios titles.
Over Pindar.
Yes, over Pindar. Yes.
Over Pindar.
Pindar.
Was Drago even in the match? I skimmed through it. I was like, I'm not in this shit, so I gotta go.
Did he fight, though? Yes, yeah. because Matt got sparkles all over his tummy.
He did.
That's how I know he fought.
Right, exactly. So we've got new Trios champions. We've also gotta keep the lights on a little bit, so I want to talk to y'all about this show on the CW. So Mondays on the CW or the Charlie Whiskey Television Network, the CW brings to you the front line of drama with the new military series Valor. Now, two special ops army helicopter pilots are breaking boundaries and defying all expectations. Their bravery in the face of impossible odds earned them the Distinguished Flying Cross for Valor. But together they're finding that truth is the first casualty of war. During their last mission, something went wrong, something no one's talking about, and when they went into the combat zone, not everyone came home. So now they've got secrets, but they're also patriots and refuse to leave any man behind. What would you do if you had to break the rules to do what's right? Would you stay grounded and step in line, or go to any lengths to learn the truth? Now they share secrets, they go on clandestine missions, they risk life and limb with only each other to depend on. How close would you get to the only person who really knows you? It's the explosive new drama that pushes the boundaries between military discipline and human nature. The new series that's right on target. That's right, that's Valor. New episodes Monday at 9, 8 central after all new episodes of Supergirl. Only on Charlie Whiskey, the CW.
Hail Satan!
Charlie Whiskey!
Moving on.
Is it really Charlie Whiskey?
Yes. It's
the CW network?
The CW. That's not... I mean, that's in the context of Valor. That's what they're calling it.
Charlie Whiskey!
Because it's a military show, guys.
Oh, Charlie Whiskey, like...
Jesus Christ, the CW.
No,
like call letters.
Oh, honey, oh, I understand. Like,
yes.
Okay,
oh.
Call letters.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, fuck. Let's move on to the Slatter match.
Like, Zoo.
Pentagon Dark, taking on Son of Havoc for the Gift of the Gods title.
Yeah, great match. Mm. Lots of ladders, lots of action. Let's go. Mm-hmm. All right,
let's talk about it.
That actually was a good match. Mm-hmm. It was a good match. I've kind of lost my love for Pentagon Dark.
Have you?
Yeah. In the past couple of months. What? Are you mad?
No, he is my favorite of the theme songs.
His theme song, we were just talking about that.
It's
right.
Really good.
So I fast forward just to see his entrance. And I think
it was Raven Sirem. We've talked about it. We've talked about him before on the show. He made an awesome, awesome mashup of Pentagon Dark's theme song with Night Call from Drive.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
I would think they probably ripped it off to make that one.
It's a great, great, great mashup. Super, super great song.
Wow, I'll have to hear that.
We've talked about his work before. He made a mashup of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Finn Balor's song to make The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And
that's good.
That's amazing.
Absolutely phenomenal.
I was jamming to Nightmare on My Street earlier today.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a real classic hit.
Exactly.
DJ Jazzy Jeff doesn't get the his due diligence.
Okay. I think he still plays at festivals.
DJ Jazzy Jeff does?
Still jazzes it up.
I hope he gets thrown out and you see like a dummy.
He's like, I did Nightmare on My Street. Damn it. I get killed at the end.
I'm a real DJ. This match was good, though. Son of Havoc, Brother of Madness, whatever. It's a good match. You know it's a good match because I don't care too much about either of these people.
But you cared in this instance?
Or? You did.
Okay.
I see. Okay.
I was like,
what a backhanded compliment.
No. But I love the ladders.
The only time
the ladders is my favorite person in the match.
Say it, yeah. The only time I've popped super hard for Son of Havoc is during that pizza bagels.
Sure.
Pizza bites?
That's
pizza
fair.
Bagels? Pizza bagels?
Yeah.
With Mascarita Sagrada.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Was that Bagel Bites? No, it was Bagel Bites.
Bagel Bites.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm an idiot. Oh, God. But
just don't speak ever.
You're right. I gotta go. Thank you so much for your time.
Just a rabbit hole down there.
Behind the desk.
That's how I got here.
But no, I really like this match. It was very cool. There was a couple gratuitous spots that were just like, we have ladders, we're gonna use them. But beyond that, what was that one that was a really nasty, nasty boy?
The package pile driver onto the open chairs.
Ooh, doggy.
Right. Oh yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
No.
Right.
That was my match.
Really? Was it?
See? I guess producer you won extraordinaire. Me over.
I won't tell you another match on this show was also mine. But... Book into
but
that
this
bitch.
One
but yeah, it was good stuff. Is that package pile driver especially?
How
yeah.
cool is that title? Also, that gift of
that,
the
that title. Cool. We've talked about it. God, I wish Jimbo was here. We've talked about how much it True is. Call. How much it is just the Dragon Belt from WMAC Masters with all of the medallions.
Yeah.
You know,
Masters, the martial arts thing.
You're damn right. Yeah. Exactly.
It was so good.
It was such a good show.
When we won those medallions, just to keep talking about myself.
Sure.
they had them in these little pouches. And
oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you don't see it on TV because they cut because they were like, you ruined it. But we're supposed to be all ecstatic because we finally won and we beat the Worldwide Underground. Uh-huh. Is that the name? Mm-hmm. So I remember getting up on the corner with this medallion and pulling it out of the bag or whatever. And I was like, yeah. And I put my hands up all quick and the thing went flying into the crowd.
Oh boy.
And I was like, oh shit. And the whole place started laughing and it landed somewhere into the crowd. And I was like, hey. And I spotted the guy. I was like, come here. You know what you did. And he was like, oh good. He brought it back to me. But I thought I was whoa, there goes an expensive prop.
Right.
I also that you said you know what you did. You threw it at him.
You wanted to steal something that I accidentally gave to you.
That's where I thought that was going, is that someone just pocketed it.
Oh, man. Then
get a whole new medallion.
This is not chocolate. I need this.
Right.
It depends on it.
Yes, Rachel?
I'm just thinking about Patrick Hunter's face.
What about it?
Beneath the paint?
No.
Because he had that tattooed on his face, that makeup.
Oh, that's good. I like
because
that.
Because he's so over, he's booked everywhere that he thought, this is so stupid. I'm booked pretty much several times a day.
He works
every
so
day.
Often.
Yeah, so I just tattooed this
yeah.
on my face.
It's like people who make their beds. You know what I mean?
That's stupid.
It's the thank you.
Right. So dumb.
You're going to be messing
it's
that
so
up
dumb.
Tonight.
Right? I need my decorative. Fuck your decorative pillows, man.
You're right. I make a cocoon and then I get in and get out. I get in and I get out.
I just rest where I rest, man. You know,
right.
It's time for us to close my eyes. Yeah, you know,
okay.
Nice train car.
I started doing something weird. I need you to tell me if it is indeed weird or
horribly
if
weird.
I'm sure, it's
so
going
so
to be
weird. Yeah.
I don't think it is. Okay, I had a hard time putting on my fitted sheet, so I went to Target and I bought a king size blanket, and I'm using that as a fitted sheet. Put a sheet on top of it. Put comfort on top of that. Is that too many things?
It's not weird as much as it is just lazy.
Is it lazy or is it more work?
I mean, I guess in a way
it won't stay tucked in. As
I guess
well, right?
I guess in a way it is more work.
I mean, it depends how active you are sleeping. Do you roll around a lot? Because then the sheets would encompass you like an actual cocoon.
So it's a good idea.
I don't know about
Okay, cool guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cozy. So one last thing after this ladder match is over.
Sorry, I forgot.
We get a very silvery Vampiro.
Quacksilver.
Quacksilver. He's a chrome boy.
He's
from Fury Road.
Yeah, he
right,
is.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted Prince Puma to witness him.
Chrome boy.
Witness me, Pooms. Witness me.
Sweet chrome boy. We get their involvement in advance of Puma's title versus career match next week against Johnny Mundo. We've got that to look forward to. We've got the triple threat match for the gauntlet between Cage, Mil Muertes, and Jeremiah Crane also next week.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremiah Crane.
Yeah.
I love him.
From The Last House on the Left.
He is from Last House on the Left. I love that.
Yes.
He's so good.
Cool. He's the goodest. He's the good boy.
He's a good
player. Are those the only two matches left?
No, wait, what was it? So the
Mundo and
Puma. Mundo and Puma. The triple
Pumes.
Threat.
Pumes. This is for you, bro. Yeah. This is for you, Pumes.
Dark Pumes.
I've lost track.
I'm wearing my dark
Pumes. Shave your Pumes.
I've lost track over these episodes. I can't remember if there's anything more than those two.
I don't appreciate that they did a vignette of Vampiro doing a satanic ritual and then, like, didn't do it right.
Well, it's not necessarily satanic.
They literally made a sigil surrounding... Yeah, it was.
Was it a pentagram?
It was supposed to... I mean, it was supposed to be at least a circle.
Was it a pentagon?
Pentagon? Yeah! Okay. So, yeah.
Wow. Color me impressed.
Let's talk about Vampiro's love for Mushroom Head, shall we?
I could not believe you busted out that reference when we were watching that.
Well, it's just not like, come on.
I went through a very, very hardcore Mushroom Head phase myself as well. Also,
he reminded me as well of... Mm-hmm. As the
before that.
There's this film in 1986, maybe 1988, mm-hmm. Called Scarecrows.
Okay.
And
it's on Netflix.
Okay. Yeah, it's terrific, about these like bank robbers and they're flying away and they like... One of them turns on the others, and they all basically eject and land over this cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
Has all these scarecrows in it, and scarecrows kill these guys. It's pretty wicked. But anyway,
sounds awesome.
Yeah, this Vampiro makeup, that was the highlight for me, was that it reminded me of this great film.
Sure, absolutely.
Scarecrows,
definitely. The X between his eyebrows reminded me a little of House of a Thousand Corpses. A little bit of Otis B. Driftwood.
Don't give him.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great movie.
Don't give him that. Yeah. Don't give him that.
Let him keep his crown. You're projecting greatness onto
him. I'm saying it reminded me of that.
Well, because you're good.
Was that a Krav Maga outfit at the end? I couldn't tell if that was a Krav Maga
right.
suit.
Very well.
I don't know.
Very well could be.
Have you ever heard that song, I Want to Be Ninja?
I have not.
All right,
how does it go?
I want to be ninja.
Well, you heard it here first. Go look that up. On that note, Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Can I stay here?
Yeah. You can just live here now. Paul just lives in the studio now.
That'd be great.
There we go.
Did I win something?
We got some night call for our outro music.
Oh, yeah.
But Paul, if you want to tell our listeners and our viewers where they can find you, where can they find you?
Well, there's this street that I hang out on usually after 11:30.
Oh, my God.
No, there's like a lot of activity there.
I bet.
Twitter and Instagram, @LondonFoo, like Kung Fu, not like the FU.
Not London gets, FU.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there is that too. It depends if I like you or not. But mostly like Kung Fu. LONDONFU, mother float. No, okay, just the FU part. London Foo.
Rachel, where can they find you?
Wow. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram. She's joined Snapchat. Or Snapchat. Boy. @RachelSamEvans.
You had been on Snapchat.
I didn't remember, so send me all of the pictures.
Don't.
I love them.
Please don't.
@RachelSamEvans or RachelSamFans. Honestly, it does depend on how your brain works, Tyler. Or you can find me at www.youtube.com/snarled. Oh! Tomorrow's Friday the 13th, and we're going live for so many hours on Snarled. We're doing giveaways. We're doing charity events. Charity's good. We're playing video games and also watching things. And I might have not clothes on at one point.
Because a butcher knife will cut them off.
That's right.
And stab her. Because they'll say, you know what the rules in a horror movie are.
Guys.
He's right.
As always, you can find me on all forms of social media @TyMatthewsPMA. Find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram, catch me on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood Saturdays 4 p.m. Check your local listings, or if you're local, every second and fourth Sunday of the month 3 p.m. It's completely free. It's on the beach. Get some wrestling in your life. We have got one episode left. in this season. It's been an incredibly long season. But we want to thank you so much. If you're on iTunes, remember to download, comment, review, subscribe, rate 5 stars if you're nasty. If you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment. If you're joining us on Facebook Live, thank you so much for joining us. But find us on all forms of social media. Talk to us about Lucha. Talk to us about Ultima Lucha Part 4 next week. But until then, Viva la Lucha.
Viva la Lucha.
Micro Machines.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.